to the book of Joel. That's in the Old Testament. Amen. Joel chapter number 2. Reading will begin, amen, with Joel 2 and 13. Amen. When you have found it, amen, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Joel 2 and 13. Now, I want to tell you from the very outset that Joel is the one who seen the outpouring of the Holy Ghost of Pentecost before it came to pass. And somebody said, is God still talking like that? Look at your neighbor and tell him he is. Man, some people think that God's not talking today, but can I tell you, it's not a question of God not talking. It's a question, are you listening? Because if you're listening, God is talking. Joel 2 and 13 says, and rent your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness and repentance, and it repented him of the evil. I want to talk to you from this simple subject and just look at your neighbor and tell them, change your heart and not your garment. Look at your other neighbor and say, what did he say? Change your heart and not your garment. Amen. Father, we bless you and we thank you today for being such an awesome God. And we pray even now, God, that as your word goes forth, that it destroys generational curses. We plead the blood of Jesus against every spirit of distraction and oppression. God, we know that you're able to deliver and to set free. Send your healing virtue up and down the aisles this morning, oh God. My God, purge minds and hearts of sins, oh God, that need to be forgiven, oh God. Uproot our own agendas, oh God. God, Lord, that our focus and our desires may be on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Change your heart and not your garments. You know, when I learned this morning of the graduation of one of our young men and that he's going on to pursue his master's, I'm excited about that. Because what that says to me, instead of him being in the back seat of a police car, he's trying to make a difference in the community. And I was so honored on yesterday to get a call from one of our other young men that has not only graduated, but he is getting ready to take the bar to become a lawyer. And he called me and said, Pastor Durham, he said, I need a favor from you. I said, well, let me know what it is, and I'll let you know if I can do it. He says, well, I need 3 character references, and I wanted to use you as one of my character references to talk about me. Can I tell you, when you do good, it's not hard to talk about you. You know, some folks have come and said, Pastor, can you? Well, now, baby, I'm not going to be able to lie for you. You may want to go get somebody else. Because if I had to write the character reference, I'm going to look long and hard to try to find the good. But you know, they told me it needs to be at least two paragraphs. And so, you know, I may not be the one that, you know, you want to ask for that character reference. But you know, you can change that. Look at your neighbor and say, if you change your life, there's a lot of good that can be said. And you know, it kind of ties in with our text on today, because in the Old Testament, when something was going on that they didn't approve of in a ceremonial or a religious manner, they would rent their clothes to say that, you know, that this is an abomination or this is blasphemous. You know, but a writer tells us here that God says, I'm tired of you just renting your clothes. He said, what I need to see is something that's happening on the inside. Can I tell you there are too many professional churchgoers today? Oh, you know how to walk in on time, and you know how when to just put your hand up at the right time. You know how to get your cute shout on. Amen. And you know how, amen, to testify, to move the people. But my question today is, are we moving God? Because God is only moved by sincerity. And you see, when God is in your life can't help but to get better. Now notice what the text says. It says, render your heart. Now that's singular. Yeah, and not your garments. That's plural. How many times have you changed out your garment, but you're not changed on the inside? Can I tell you, the songwriter said, won't he make you clean on the inside? And see, if you're clean on the inside, guess what? It's going to show up on the outside. Oh, I can't get no help this morning. Amen. But I brought my praise with me. Amen. Can I tell you that, in other words, all it takes is one action with your heart to get right with God. You know, hiding behind excuses, saying that God understands. I don't believe he went to an old rugged cross. I don't believe he took the 39 stripes and was pierced in his side. The nails, amen, that were driven in his hands and his feet. I don't believe he went through all of that to leave you hanging in defeat and despair. Can I tell you that when Jesus came, he brought a gift. Not only did he bring the gift, he had a bow on it, but he said, I can't leave you them. The gift by itself is not good enough. You've got to learn how to use the gift that he's giving you. He said, I can't leave you comfortless. And so I tell you what I'm going to do. Look at your neighbor and say, wait on God. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. He says, I'm going, I'm going to leave you a gift. He said, I need you to go up to the upper room and stay there until you have been endued with the power from on high.
Can I tell you, some of us, we're getting ahead of God. And because we're getting ahead of God, our life is all in shambles. But I know a God that if you wait on him, look at your neighbor, say if you wait on him, he won't disappoint you. Because the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I got to move on him. But I need to tell you that one action with your heart can help you to get right with God. Now, while you may change your garments many times, amen, and still not get it right. See, what am I talking about? Get it right. See, the writer says, you got to change your heart and not your garments. Well, can I tell you what I'm talking about, my brothers, my sisters, my fellow colleagues in the gospel? Can I tell you what I'm talking about? I'm talking about sin. You say, well, brother pastor, what is sin? I'm so glad you asked. I feel my help all in the room today. And so if I get a little crazy, I just want to let you know ahead of time, you better go ahead and buckle up your seatbelt, because the road may get a little rough. There may be a little turbulence in the place. And if your oxygen mask fall down, look at your neighbor and tell him, already anchored in the Lord. But when we talk about sin, can I tell you what it is? Sin is to know to do and not do good. What do you mean, brother preacher? You know the right thing to do, but you choose not to do it. The Bible calls that sin, according to James 4:7. You see, sin is like spots that cannot be removed. I don't care what you do. You can take a bath every hour on the Bible, but can I tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus can erase and eradicate your sin. You need a dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to go down in the water in Jesus' name, because it's the only thing that can remove your sins. You say, brother preacher, what do you mean? Can I tell you that sin is a burden that man cannot lift? I don't care how many uppers and downs you take. When you come back to your right mind, sin is still wearing you down. My God, but I hear God say, all I need you to do, don't worry about changing your clothes. He said, I don't want you to worry about that right now. I want you to rid your heart, because if you rid your heart, that's all you'll need. God said, if I can get on the inside, I'll show up on the outside. Preacher, what do you mean, rid your heart? Look at your neighbor and say, he gonna tell you. Oh, I can't get no help in the room. Amen, he tells us in Psalms 34 and verse number 18. He said, the Lord is nigh thee, nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. What do you mean? When you humble yourself before the Almighty God and say, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. You've got to understand, he tells us in Psalms 51 and 17. The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit. What do you mean? Sometimes God got to push you in a corner, have you all backed up, amen, before he can get your attention. But once he gets your attention, once you realize, I can't do this thing by myself, I can't do it unless the Lord is with me. And so he says, the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. In other words, God won't turn you away if you come humble. But see, we want to come to God as if we're doing God a favor. Can I give you a news flash? If you never come to God, God is still God. If you never tell him thank you, he's still God. But I have him say that every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the rebound. I think I'll get in while the train is still moving. It's running a little slow, but look at your neighbor and tell him it's picking up the pace. Everywhere you look, there is trouble. There is trouble and destruction. There is confusion. There is a killings going on. But maybe God's just trying to get your attention. Can I tell you, he says, rid your heart. In Isaiah 57 and 15, he says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Look at your neighbor and say, that's God. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. He said, you know what? If your spirit is contrite, you know, and you're humble, he says to revive your spirit. God says, if you come humble, he says, I'll revive you, or I'll make you alive again. Because can I tell you, some of our fire, is just about out. You need a revival down on the inside. But before the revival can come, you got to humble yourself before the Almighty God. And so he says, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. God says that if you'll humble yourself, he says, I'll revive you. I'll restore you. It's no sin to say that I've messed up. The sin comes when you won't humble yourself before the Almighty God. The sin comes when you try to act like you Mr. and Mrs. Suchy-much. God says if you'll humble yourself. God says that he says, I can't turn you away. How many times have you been turned down by a creditor, turned down by a job, turned down by the opposite sex? But God says, I won't turn you away if you come back the right way. You see, we're all caught up in the garment. You see, the garment, it renders an outward expression or an outward sign of some kind of religious emotion. You know, as easily manifested, and they are frequently hypocritical. Uh-oh, what are you saying, preacher?
You come in here with your dress dragging the floor. But you're bitter than a rattler snake. You got your turtleneck all the way up to here. And Lord know it's hot in here. It's 100 degrees outside and all you cover from head to toe, but you're mean. Judgmental. Looking at folks like. That's what Jesus was talking about. Those scribes and Pharisees, baby, they whatever they had on, it was white, it was starched. You could see the crease a mile away. They had it right. The pious look. You know how some of y'all look. I've been preaching too long to be intimidated now. You think because you pray 3 minutes more than everybody else that you got a direct access to the kingdom? Can I give you a news flash? If my back is up against the wall, guess what? I'm going to beat you up Jacob's ladder. You praying because, you know, you have opportunity. But sometimes trouble makes the opportunity because you sometimes feel like I don't have time. But God says, I'm going to show you how to number your days. God said, I'm going to show you how to make me important in your life. Oh, you think because, you know, mama treating you right now, she rubbing your head. Telling you the best thing since sliced bread. And you whispering in her ear and she just blinking and smiling. You know, baby, we got one another. We don't need nobody else. God said, ah! You always need God. Always. Men and women will let you down. But God is always there. I need to move on here. Can I tell you that men will attend the most multiple and minute ceremonial regulations for such things. They're only pleasing to the flesh. You know, every time you go to church, you know, it's not to give God honor and glory. Sometimes it's just justification. Well, I went. Child, I went because I didn't want to hear the pastor's mouth. Don't you know that the pastor loves your soul? And it's my job to get on you when you're not in church to encourage you that your help is in the house of the Lord. What does he want now? Oh, I hear you in the spirit. He's chasing me down. Yes, maybe I didn't want to come, but oh, when you have a stroke, where's the pastor? Call the pastor. But when you were riding on your high horse, I don't need the church. They ought to be glad when I show up. But see, you got to change your heart and not your garments. There's a young man, his family was calling me and said that they were saying, we've been looking for you. He said, my brother's sick. And he's been asking about you. Isn't it amazing when folks get sick? They want the preacher then. Where is the preacher? I knew he could get a prayer through. Where is he? But the Bible says, rent your heart and not your garment. I got to move on here. You see, but now, when you come to church, look at your neighbor and say, for the right reason. You know what happens? There is a humbling in your spirit. Because now, I don't care how long you've been in the church, there's something you got to work on. What? What? Do you know how long I've been saved? Do you know how long you've been in the way? You say you've been saved, but you've been in the way. It's time to get out of the way and get in the Lord. You see, because when we humble ourselves before God, you know what happens? Then we become humble. We begin to search our hearts. You know, we begin, amen, to see that we are carnal men. And if God doesn't help us, we won't be helped. You know, we become flimsy and worldly if God doesn't help us. That's why you got to go to the well every day. That's why you got to have a talk with Jesus every day. Because if you don't have a talk with Jesus every way, you can still be in the church. Amen. And you can keep renting your garments. But if your heart is not right, before you know it, you're in the church, but you still look like the world. You act like the world. You talk like the world. Because your heart has not been rented. Oh, you got a voice that makes the angels rejoice in heaven. But if you're not giving God the full glory, it's a stained praise. A stained praise. Did you hear that? A stained praise. You know why? Because God says, I'm not going to share my glory with nobody else. You may have the ability to articulate. You may be a master of words. You can take a word, and if it was so, you could convince the devil that he could get to heaven. And you know he's not going. Just in case somebody, you know, got confused there, the devil made his choice. And what God is saying to us today, you need to make your choice. See, because you don't have as much time as you think you do. And you know, you come to church and you got your church clothes on. And as soon as you get out of church, Lord, it's so tight, it's so fitted. You talking about that movie Exhale or something like that? You trying to you can't hardly breathe. Yeah, and then so some of y'all, you know, when you get out of church, you know, you slip those other clothes on, and then you know you got to put a little oil on to even slip in them. They so tight. You know what? That's a self-identity complex. When you think you've got to show all of the stuff that you should reveal to your husband only, you got a self-identity complex. You know, and obviously you didn't read in the word where he said that he made you fearfully and wonderfully what? And beautifully what? In his image. You missed that. You don't have to show all of your private stuff. Can I tell you that when God created you as a woman, a man's going to automatically look at you. You ain't got to show everything. You know, because he'll look at you and enjoy it. But when he get ready to get married, guess what? He don't want you. I don't understand why he won't marry me. He wants somebody that's got some self-respect for themselves. And then women, you shouldn't want somebody that's got 200 notches on their belt. You were doing fine, Pastor, but why do you have to go there? Bringing things to you that you cannot get rid of.
I got off track here somewhere on this message here.
Lord have mercy. But I guess that was the Holy Ghost.
Your wives need to appreciate your husbands and quit taking them for granted.
Husbands, appreciate your wives.
And quit taking them for granted.
There's always some little silly Sally and some little slick Willie waiting to soil you up. And you better watch when you start smiling and grinning like that. You know what he said? I got him. I got him. You know, he's trying to be cool here. Yeah.
But can I tell you, it's not worth it. Go home and work on your communication skills, because that's what it is 99.9% of the time. And if you hadn't figured it out by February, sign up for the marriage conference. You see, you know, while we may dress the part, and you know, you should dress holy when you come to the house of God, because it's a sacred place. The courts don't allow you to come in looking like hoochies. Oh, excuse me. That one slipped out, y'all. But it's the truth anyhow. You can't even go to the jailhouse looking like that. Why you want to come to the house of God looking any kind of way? The Bible says, come as you are. Where is that? Give me book, chapter, and verse.
We quote stuff that's not in the Bible.
You see, our outward, our outward observance, can I tell you that they're temporary and they're comfortable. You know, I don't mind putting on a dress or a skirt for, you know, 2 hours to go to church. And the brother said, well, I don't mind putting up my pants, for 2 hours to go to church. But then when I get out, guess what? Here you go, running like this. I try to hold them up. It ain't hard to look holy for 2 hours. And so God said, you have not done me any favor by renting your garments. God said, I need you to rent your heart. I need you to rent your heart, because if you rent your heart, God says, I can change you on the inside. He said, I came for one reason. He said, I am come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. In other words, God said, I want you to live a quality life. A quality life means that I can lay down at night and have a good night's sleep. If I learn how to trust and depend on God. You see, the text tells us, he says to rent your heart. But they are naturally made of hard as marble. He says, then what can make them, you know, soft and compassionate? He says, is when you humble yourself. Can I tell you, you know, sometimes, you know what, we're in the church and we're living holy. But the Bible says in the Old Testament, it said that they had some high places. And the high places were places where they worshiped the idol gods. And so while they were doing everything right, you know, you come and you worshiping gods, but look at your neighbor and say, you got some high places in your life. Uh-huh. You know what the high places are? It's your lust. You know, it's your cravings, it's your appetite that you have off limits to God, and you keep going back to those high places. And God is saying that if you would allow me to rent your heart, God says, if you would allow me to come in and massage that old stony heart, he says, I can make it a heart of flesh. But see, we don't want a man to do things God's way. We want to do things our way. But the Bible says that when we rent our hearts, he says, if people would repent of their sins, amen, and seek the Lord's help. See, you got to ask for God's help. Can I tell you, you can't do this thing by yourself. You need God's help. And you know what? Don't you know that God is willing and able to help us? But he said, you know, it just can't be about renting the garment. You know, when you're around the right folks, you know how church folks are. You know, when certain folks come around, amen, praise the Lord. So as they shout, look at how holier than thou. You know, but don't you think God talks to praying folks? You know, God deals with me concerning the saints. And you know, there are some things that he deals with me about that you know, I can't say anything because he didn't show it to me to blab it. He showed it to me to pray about it. And even though sometimes you can see people heading in the wrong direction. See, God wants you to come to him on your own free will. Even though we can encourage you, you know, your heart's got to be right. You know, sometimes people try to scare people to give their life to God. I'm not trying to scare you because, you know what, when you come through the door, you need to make a choice and a decision that I'm here to the end. Because God is not a play toy. He's not something that we should be playing with. He's not something that, you know, that we, well, you know, I may serve him and I may not. But if you really want to be blessed of God, God said, you got to come clean. And you know, we got to ask ourselves the question, how much wasted time have we lost because we didn't put God first? You know, how can you make up wasted time? You know, because, you know, God called you a long time ago. Listen. Somebody said, oh, this pastor said he called me to preach. No, he called you to salvation. Look at your neighbor and say, he called you to repent. And you know what? If you could get that one out of the way, a call to repentance, then God says, I can help. You see, you know, we cannot turn back the hands of time. You know, but there's a strange and wonderful way that God can give you back the wasted blessings. You know, the unripe fruit. You know, the unripe years. The unripe, you know, time when you were mourning. You know, it is pity that they should have lost the locust and even eaten up by the folly of neglect. But God says, I can give it all back to you. Anybody want to make up for your wasted time? God says, I can give it back to you. He said, even though it seems like you don't have any hope, he says, I can give it back to you. He said, because when you humble yourself, don't you remember Joel or Jonah when he said, you know what, I'm not going to Nineveh? We got some Jonahs in here, though. You've been bucking and kicking against the will of the Lord. And you know what God said? You know what? When I put you in the belly of this whale, you're going to have a 3-day revival. And you're going to break out. I'll go. But you know what?
when Jonah repented, look at your neighbor and say, and got on the right ship. See, some of us are not on the right ship. You're on the Scandinavian, or you're on the Norwegian. You know what? But God wants you on the Jesus ship. The ship of Mount Zion. Look at your neighbor. Say, get on board. You know what? Because when Jonah got on the right ship, the Bible says in one day he was able to do more than he would have if he'd obeyed the first time. God's just trying to let somebody know that he can make it up to you if you'll humble yourself. God wants to restore you back to the place where he first met you. Can I tell you, as the altar workers are coming, that it was not an accident and it was not a coincidence that Calvary took place.